gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome to Pod of No Return, an in-depth, sometimes humorous, behind-the-scenes tour of real life and a Broadway show with your hosts, Greg Mills and Jeremy Stoll.
Hello and welcome to Pod of No Return. We are your hosts, Greg Mills.
And Jeremy Stoll.
Hey, Jeremy, what's going on?
Hey, Greg, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a whole week.
Almost, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
How's your week been?
Crazy. My week's been okay. I've been really excited about BroadwayCon from this last week. You know what's funny is I have a dilemma. So my Instagram is the only thing I do. And I have this problem where I can't spell. So I put out posts and they do really well. People enjoy them very much. And then I realize, or I don't realize because I can't spell, but people realize for me over and over and over and over. And now I'm in the middle of a dilemma. Do I take it down because I look like a moron because I can't spell and I didn't spell check it? Or do I just leave it alone and say, guess what? I can't spell. Sorry. It's just an accident. So do I look like a moron or do I look like a moron? That's my dilemma there.
So folks, if you go to Jeremy's Instagram and it says, please like our newest podcast called The Pod of No Reruns. Just know he means Pod of No Return.
Please leave comments and questions on there, completely misspelled, so we have no idea what you're talking about. And I will be right at home.
That'd be a fun episode. Like just trying to just take a look at your Instagram.
Just go through anything I've ever posted ever. Oh my God. It's like Jeremy has a fifth grade education. Actually, that's an insult to the fifth graders because they probably can spell.
Someone should make a TV show about that.
A TV show about not spelling?
Wait a minute.
Oh, darn it.
If you're smarter than a fifth grader.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Someone beat us to it.
You were, I was one step behind you as usual, Greg Mills.
So no, Jeremy, tell me, what'd you think of BroadwayCon? Because it was our first time.
It was our first time. I thought it was really neat. It was not what I expected. I remember seeing people going to Comic-Con, and it was just an endless train of people in costume, where
yeah,
BroadwayCon
a lot more
was
Spider-Man.
Yeah, there's exactly. Which, interestingly enough, could have been at BroadwayCon as well.
I know, right?
I thought there would be more dressing up, but there wasn't. And the panels were, they were fun. I thought that ours was a great time. I didn't realize we were in the main room, and
I didn't either. I was like, oh, geez.
Big one. It was. I was quite honored to get the big room with the sign, and it was a lot of people that showed up. There were other panels there. There's like technical panels, and there were producer panels, and there were educational panels, and then there were just fan panels. It was
a stage manager panel.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a real cool convention, almost for business instead of fandoms. It was a great time. I like the swag floor. The people have booths and they make art and they sell T-shirts and they sell paraphernalia.
And what they call that, the marketplace?
Is that the marketplace? Yeah.
The marketplace, yeah.
It's very cool. There was some of our lovely fans that we see quite often, and they brought gifts, and I was so touched by it. I got, actually, can you believe this? I got a coffee cup. Ready for this?
I saw you holding a box. I didn't know what was in it. I was going to ask.
It is a coffee cup that was bought at the Starbucks next door to the Paris Opera House. How about that?
What?
That.
Dang.
I know.
What's Starbucks called in Paris?
Les Starbucks.
Starbucks. I don't know. That's awesome. That's incredible.
It was beyond. It was really beyond.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And I remember we got who's a Kristen, a fan that gave us those coins from the opera house, from the Phantom production.
Yeah, same one. Same person.
Oh,
yes,
the same.
Exactly.
That's amazing. I didn't get a coffee mug from just Starbucks.
Well, you didn't write a song about Starbucks.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah. What was your take back from?
I mostly drink coffee at Gregory's Coffee. And I've been to I've been to many Gregory Starbucks. I mean Gregory Coffee. Yeah. There's my song.
You heard mine, apparently. I hear this. I like this.
Oh yeah, of course I've listened.
What was your takeaway from Broadway Con?
I thought it was great. I mean, again, I like what you said. I thought maybe there would be more dressed up. You know, I wanted to see some giant SpongeBob people walking down the street, and you know, I thought there'd be a little more costumes, but
20-30 Elphabas.
Yeah, right. I was impressed by how they ran it. They were very organized. I thought the marquee did great with it. The people running it are the person that was kind of in charge of us. His name was Sam Harris. I remember that because that's a great name. And like, you know, he was just on it and had us in our waiting room and was like there to get us in time. And, you know, just everybody working on it. The staff I thought was great.
Yeah, they were great. They were a well-oiled machine, I would say. I was loving watching Joyce there, our producer, Joyce Belitsky. She was in her element at Broadway Con. She's just like, my name's Joyce. What can we do for an episode? People were just like, yes, let's do that. We got the people from the Goosebumps. You know, the Goosebumps people were made a Phantom musical. And there were it was amazing. At the Museum of Broadway, we have a little thing maybe possibly coming up. I won't give it away because I don't want to jinx it. And it was very cool. It was very cool to just like plan and make new things and watch Joyce go to work. She's very, very good. Yeah, so high five, Joyce,
Course. Yes, Joyce. The first image I had when I first saw Joyce, she was coming in with a walking boot on, but B, about... you know, eight Starbucks coffees.
That's right.
So she's like got balancing like two trays, five bags, and a walking boot. I'm like, oh my gosh.
With one leg.
Yeah, one leg. Yeah. But yeah, that was impressive. But yeah, I mean, I thought for being kind of first thing in the morning, you know, we were kind of early morning there. There was still a good turnout, and I'm sure it got even busier later in the day, but it was cool seeing some of the other Broadway folks there and especially catching up with their cast.
Yeah. How about that? Was that so fun just to walk into a room and none of us knew what to expect? We just kind of all jumped in the pool together. It was okay, go. Oh man.
Megan Picerno again. That was
Megan.
Her in, what's it been? 6-8 months, something like that.
Oh really? Yeah. Not the last time I saw her. Probably two times I saw Megan before she and I sang in that very room for a convention.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, it was. We got to stop meeting like this. It was quite the joke. She's a delight. I really enjoy her company. How did you think our panel went? What do you feel about?
We were the best. I mean, you know, no.
Basically, right?
Basically. I thought it was cool. I mean, you know, it was, I felt like you said, I didn't know what I was going to walk into. And especially since you and I kind of took on sort of this host role.
It made it a little. With the air quotes.
You can't see that at home. These are air quotes. Because it was like, you know, we've done panels and talkbacks. Plenty, you know, everywhere we go we are doing talkbacks for Phantom, but to like suddenly like last second, oh yeah, here's like kind of a skeleton of a script, make this happen, and you're like, oh, we have to like kind of introduce ourselves and introduce people. And
I love it when you just said skeleton of a script. Joyce just gave like the horns came out of the earphones and the eyes turned red. Like, how dare you, sir. It was actually a really good outline.
It was a very good.
The freedom to move in directions we needed to move. I was just
embellishing my fan fiction here. That's all, Joyce.
Done.
It was a very good script. And thankfully for that, because I wouldn't have known how to transition to each, thing that we were doing and get everybody, going. But it was fun, and the crowd was great. And
they were great. I thought they had some really great questions for us. There's some absolute wonderful enthusiasm. I think one of the highlights for me was your jokes were hilarious. I was dying. You kept bringing the same jokes back. It was just, I was loving it. You were in your element.
Well, yeah, I was giving it to Megan a bit, but.
Lunge joke.
That was Jeremy's idea to just kind of break the ice when we first got out there too. Let's come out. Let's do our dad jokes, because that's what we do.
Let's do dad jokes for no reason, with no preempt, nothing. We just can go.
Because I'm sure there were people that were out in the audience that, we had our fans that kind of know us, and then we had other people that were just there for BroadwayCon, and I'm sure they were like, "Wait, what?
What?"
And so I kind of did mine, which, we got some laughs from our group and our panel, but there were definitely some like, cricket?
Yeah.
Like, what am I watching right now?
The good part is with dad jokes, there's no bad reaction. You can have a groan, you can have a laugh, they're all good. A theater mania was there.
You can have Raquel Suarez groan.
Nice call to our Carlotta. How about her booth, huh? Wow.
I didn't see it. That was
floor. Raquel has a full business where they're she and Rory, her dresser from Phantom, they make jewelry, and they make just fan swag, and it was really awesome and very, very meticulously made and beautiful. They just did a wonderful job. It was
Rory's
quite
amazing.
Cool.
Like
these blings
the
do
costumes
happen.
She makes these blings do happen.
These blings do happen. Yeah. It was. What was funny too is there the Madame Tussauds Wax Museum had our phantom wax that we had there. I remember doing the opening of that with Kaylee Voorhees. We went and sang for it, and they revealed the phantom area at Madame Tussauds, and they brought the wax statues over to BroadwayCon. So we got
it's
to take
the one
pictures
in the boat,
with
right?
Yeah, the one in the boat. And Rory, the dresser, was having the day about it. She was dying. She was like, "Okay, the cape is wrong. You guys, I don't know who put this on." It was. She went over there to fix it, and they wouldn't let her do it. Like, "Don't touch this." It's like, "What? Who are you? What do you know about it?" It's like, she's the foremost authority, actually. So, but what are you gonna do? Oh God!
And she could sew and create her own versions of those costumes too, which is amazing.
Oh my!
Because she has.
Rory
I photographed
so
her in her. Christine wedding dress, and it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, yeah. And she makes theme costumes of other shows. It's she's very talented. I hope
she's
that
very good.
She gets to be a designer of some sort.
Yeah, totally.
So the theater mania team was in the audience for us. That was wild that we got covered by them, and a bunch of fans. We had Big Mike there, and we call Big Mike because he's. Like almost, I don't know, what is he, 6'9"?
8'12", I don't know.
He's so tall. He's like the tallest teddy bear in the entire world. He's the sweetest guy in the world. Have you ever heard him sing? Yeah. Did you hear him sing at
I have, yeah. I've seen a video of him singing.
He rocks, man. That guy can sing. I love it. There was a lot of fans. Yishuan was there, and she brought roses, of course, as is tradition. And the questions were really great.
They were. We had a great mix, and you and I tried to do our best to go kind of back and forth between the questions we had gotten from Pod of No Return that people had written online, and then also Joyce had given out things for like cards for fans in the audience to submit questions. So we had gotten a mix of questions from earlier, and then questions that were live right there. So It was really, we got really good questions.
We really good questions. We unfortunately yet we didn't get to them all, but we got to many of them. My favorite was an interesting question. It was to the parents on the panel. What do you tell your kids about what you do for a living? That was a great question. Because
it's like we're Walter White or something from Breaking Bad.
Oh man. Let's get on with it. We have a recorded feed of the actual panel from BroadwayCon. And what we're going to do is we're going to play it in two parts because it was a little too long for a single episode. We're going to break it into two. And the first half will be today. And on the next episode, we'll have the second half. And there are jokes and fun things and little anecdotes through the whole thing. So not one half is better than the other. So please definitely listen to both.
What you won't hear on the recording, because he never spoke up, Raquel's dog, Leo, was also on the panel.
that's right. In costume.
Dressed in full Piangi costume, along with our actual Piangi Carlton Moe. But so you hear nothing from Leo, but he was there. So.
All right. Well, let's take them to the panel floor.
Enjoy. Hey. Hi, everyone. I'm Greg Mills.
Line. I'm Jeremy Stoll. Okay.
We got the one. And before we start, we just want to take a moment to thank everyone at BroadwayCon for allowing us to have this panel and for putting this all together, making all of this happen and bringing us here. Thank you, BroadwayCon. A big hand to everybody that's involved. Thank you.
As Joyce told you, we have a podcast called Pod of No Return, where we are just basically riffing on shenanigans the whole time. So if you have a chance to check that out, that'd be great. Greg, I haven't seen you in a while. How's it going?
Been a while.
Yeah, I know. I was reading this morning, actually, about the effects of alcohol. So at night, you know, you drink, and it's frightening what I read about alcohol. So I've decided that from now on, no more reading.
And you know, Jeremy, since the show closed, you know, I've been sitting around the house a lot more, and my wife's like, you know what, you should start doing the lunges to get back into shape. I said, well, that would be a big step forward. Come on.
That literally got one clap. One person. Thank you, whoever that is. Yes. You get a free ticket to our midnight show. That doesn't exist, by the way. Anyways, we'll not bore you anymore.
Enough about us.
We're going to bring out our panelists for the day. Let's see, one by one. Starting with the blue check, Megan Pacerno.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Megan.
And we have Raquel Suarez-Grun.
Raquel.
That's really, come on out.
Oh, and Leo.
And Leo.
What? Leo's in his Piangi costume. next, we have Carl Moe.
Paging Carl Moe.
Woo, woo, woo. The actual Piangi, not in costume.
Then we have Marie Johnson.
I'll let you save yours for last. Then we have my my shenanigan swing brother, Scott Makita.
And last but certainly not least, Miss Elizabeth Welch. We had two other panelists that were joining us today, and due to unforeseen circumstances, they had to call in to the panel. That's Laird McIntosh. He's back in Canada because they told him he can't leave, so he's gone. And Julia Udine. So they couldn't make it today, but they send their greetings.
And what we'd love to do, actually, because they really wanted to be here, we would love to, if you'll let us, take a quick video saying hello. I'm going to start with us on stage here. We'll go sideways.
Can we have the house lights up for just a second? Would that be
Laird McIntosh, Julia Udine, we miss you. Look, we're here, BroadwayCon.
Hey.
What's up, guys?
There's Jeremy. Look who's over here. Hi, guys.
We miss you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
We miss you guys.
All right, the object today is we are going to answer some questions that have been given to us from our Pot of No Return website, not website, but Instagram. Some of you have written in questions, and we have them ready to go. We're just going to fire off questions. There is some cards in the audience. If you have questions today and you would like to ask of us, please write it down. It'll be collected and brought up to us, and we will get to that if possible, hopefully,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, should we start?
Okay.
Are we the ones with the questions?
Yeah, or? We're the ones with the questions.
All right.
All right. First question is, what was your initial reaction getting cast in The Phantom of the Opera? Who wants to start?
Scott. About time.
45 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'll go. So it was actually 44 years ago that
sorry.
I got cast. Yeah, because I am the oldest person in this room, I think. I initially got cast for a tour of the show, the what was called the Rowell Company, that toured around the country back in 1996. I was cast, and somebody left the show, and I was called in by the casting people. I did an audition, and I was supposed to audition for the Broadway company of Les Mis the next day, and I got a call from the casting people like 3 hours later saying, pack your bag, you're leaving tomorrow to go on tour, and we're canceling your Les Mis audition. So that's how I was cast as a swing with a Rowell cover. That's how long ago it was. So there you go. And it was exciting. It was thrilling. My ex-wife had been a Christine on that tour, and then in the Broadway company. So I had auditioned for the show 10, 12 times and just never gotten cast in it. And so finally it happened. So there you go.
Scott, do you remember your total number of shows that you did that they gave you?
I don't.
You were like top five though, right?
I was number two, I think.
Number two, behind Richard Poole.
Richard Poole. Oh my gosh. Because Richard Poole is immensely aged. And so I'm only mildly aged, and so you know he has more performances than I do. So
I have not thought about this for a while, actually, that question. I haven't thought about this for a while, and hearing it, I remembered being cast. My daughter was little, and she was at the dentist, and it was her first dentist appointment. She was like three, maybe? I think she was three or four. And... I dropped her off at the dentist, and there was a phone call. My mom was there, and it was a 212 number, and I'm from Colorado. I know that 212 is New York. Nobody calls me from New York except for Broadway, basically. So I'm in Colorado with my daughter at the dentist. I looked down, and I was like, 212. Oh, okay, Mom, I got to go, because I was going to Les Mis for a matinee. And I got in the car and was driving. I'm like, okay, I'll just call this number back, and called. And it was Dale Brown at Tara Rubin offering me the job, and I was like, I'm on my way to a matinee, and he's like, I know you have Les Mis tonight. I'm like, you know I have Les Mis? How do you know? Okay. And he's like, why don't you call me when you get there, and you know, just stop driving, call me when it's safe. But it's so funny. Here I am driving along, like dropping off my daughter. Oh, Broadway's calling, and then they gave me a job. Isn't that crazy? God, thank you for that question, because I have not thought about that in how many? 16 years.
In 6 months.
Oh, me? Oh. Hello. my experience is, I know how this is going to sound. It's a little different. It's a little odd.
You didn't start with this.
I also did not audition.
How dare you?
As you do.
Well, I kind of did. Very briefly, I'm from the opera world originally, and I was cast in Hal Prince's Candide with New York City Opera. And that's when Hal Prince and Pat Birch, fairy godmother, love you, they were like, you know, kiddo, would you ever want to do Broadway? And I was like, I mean, that sounds awesome, yeah. And so they're like, well, you know, there's a new old show coming to America. And I was like, I don't know what that means. And this was only like 6 years ago. And Hal was like, have you seen Phantom? And I was like, I have not. I feel like I've made up for lost time, though, in fairness. And so he got me tickets. I saw Allie Ewalt was my Christine, who is since now a friend. And I was like, well, this show is awesome. Yeah, of course. Where was I living under a rock? And so they were casting for Love Never Dies. I sang my first ever Broadway audition. Well, I guess that wasn't Broadway per se. For Tara Rubin. Sang for Andrew Lloyd Webber, was cast that afternoon in Love Never Dies. That never happened before either. Like 3 hours later, they're like, you're going to be Christine in Love Never Dies, the U.S. premiere. And I was like, awesome. So like we're like halfway through the tour of Love Never Dies, and we had this layover. And so I'm in New York, and Hal's office used to be at, Radio City Hall. So he's like, kiddo, come to my office. And I was like, okay. And so I went there, and he's like, so, we're gonna have a new world tour that's going out, and it's the New York version. Would you, once Love Never Dies closes, would you like to, one, I kept a secret for so long. It was so hard because I'm not good with like happy secrets. Like I wanna share them so badly. And so he was like, we'd love for you to open it as Christine and then transfer into Broadway. And I was like, well, that sounds fabulous. And that's what happened. So we closed Love Never Dies the first week of December. On New Year's Eve, I was on a plane to Manila. And we were in Manila. We were in Singapore. We premiered it in Kuala Lumpur. And then my last stop was Tel Aviv. And then I transferred into the company of Broadway, where I met my new fam here, who I loved greatly. And then COVID happened, and you know, that thing. And then I reopened Broadway and passed the crown. And that was my journey as Christine on Broadway, which is kind of awesome and crazy. There you go.
Yes.
Greg, I'm curious what yours is. Will you answer this question?
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Will you answer this question, Greg? I'm curious what your answer is to it.
Oh, to how I reacted when I first found out that Megan got cast without auditioning?
Yeah, hello.
You are elated.
Yes. No, when I found out, I had a hard time getting seen for the show for some reason. And then finally, after several years of trying to get in, I got an audition. And when it happened, I mean, I was just thrilled. I went out and joined the Music Box tour as a Rao cover, and I met Welch out there, and many other people that wound up in the New York show. We all eventually found our way there. But yeah, it was just incredible. I had never had such a great experience. Yeah, and it's thrilling, and I'm still thrilled and feel so lucky that that happened to me so many years ago.
But you guys, for just in the interest of time, I think we should move on to other questions.
Yes.
Because we got a bunch of great ones from the audience. Thank you very much. Including, this is actually not a question, but it's just a note from Mike, as nicknamed Big Mike.
Big Mike.
He says, thanks for making this so great for me and making me a part of the family. Mike, it's nice to hear from you, buddy.
Yeah, Big Mike.
Mike was working on our promotion team, and he would be out in Times Square selling tickets, giving out flyers, and being the biggest enthusiast for our show, and he's awesome. And nice to see you, Mike.
You rock, Mike. Next question we have. This came from the audience, and my readers. How did you feel when you first heard that the show was closing?
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Gut punch. Ooh.
I'll answer this first because I. So, like, the announcement was during a put-in for Nahal, but I was out for, I was going to a friend's wedding in Chicago, and so I, like, was in the air when they, like, announced this, that we were going to, like, do a big company meeting about it, and that they were going to do the meeting, like, over Zoom to include people who weren't there, like myself, and so... But so all the news like happened like all at once when I landed in Chicago. Basically, I like saw that an email was sent about this meeting, and that the meeting was 5 minutes from when I was reading it. And so I got on this Zoom meeting as I'm deboarding this plane in Chicago, and they like made the announcement that way. And so it just felt so, for me, I felt very like just bad that I wasn't there with everyone to like have that collective like feeling like moment together, like that I was like in Chicago. I mean, I still like made the most of my friend's wedding. Like I didn't like put a rain cloud over their special day. but yeah, but I felt bad not being there with everyone when it happened. And so I remember that was like the most like strong feeling I had on that day. But then I don't know. Yeah. And then after that, it was just like the stages of grief.
I can tell you what you missed. We're in the middle of a put-in, and the theater is too cold as usual because they iced the place down during the day. And the news starts breaking on the phone. Paul Schaefer comes over and he goes, "What do you think of this?" It's the Post, right? So I said, "It's the Post. It's a lie." And then he goes, "Oh, yeah, that's, you're right." And then it broke again, and then it broke again. Then we asked our boss, I said, "Do you know anything about what's going on Twitter?" And he looks at it and he goes, "Oh, my God." And he runs out of the room because he had to go get everybody from England and Australia, and it just there was a huge phone call. So what you missed was the entire cast sitting in the theater by the piano with my little rose-colored Apple laptop on a Zoom call as we're all looking in here, and they told us that, well, we're going to play our final performance. So it was quite a scene. I wish somebody took a picture of it, really. That's, I think it was a unique experience for us. So
like, and like Carl said, it was literally the day we had a put-in for Nahal, who was our new Andre. So he was just getting ready to go into the show that night for his first show. And we were at his final rehearsal when they said,
we're so we blame Nahal, basically. That's
yeah, it's Nahal's fault.
It's his fault.
And then that was the night on Nahal's put-in that for some reason, for the first time in my life with Phantom in all of the 15 years, something was wrong, and we took the bow in front of the curtain like in high school. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It was horrible. In front of the big red curtain, we all came out and we're like, "Hey, is it our turn? Okay, dresses don't fit." And then here comes Nahal for his thing. "Is it me?" He's like, "I think I broke the show." It was horrible. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Oh, egg on the face is delicious. It's so fun. Egg on Nahal the face
said,
is my favorite
this
thing.
This is a sign.
Yeah.
At the end of Nahal's put in at the because we had to carry on with the rehearsal after that because the show goes on and he had to do his performance that evening. But he looked at us all and said, "Guys, I didn't think I was that bad." And we all just went,
yeah.
We were just,
but he was.
Yeah.
You got to use the microphone, man.
Nahal. It was very epic for him because he just opened and closed in one day.
All right. Well, next question, guys. What was the shortest? This is for the understudies. What was the shortest time for the understudies in Swings that you were told you were going on for another role? I'm looking at you, Scott.
Yeah. I was there over 20 years, so it happened a lot. I mean, many times during the show, there would be an announcement, Scott Makita called the office, and I'd call and they'd say, "Okay, so-and-so is out, not this next scene, but the scene after you're on for them." So, you know, that happened actually quite a bit.
Oh, my God.
There were a couple of times, normally when, as an understudy, if you're on for a principal role, they usually try to let you know at least several hours before the performance. There were several times when I walked in the door and saw my name on the list that they had just forgotten to call.
Oh, God.
So there's that. The craziest thing that happened to me was I had been covering Andre for a long time, and then they asked me to also cover Fearman. And you guys know the show. The two guys do everything together, right? So I had my put-in as Fearman in the afternoon, and Craig Jacobs, who was the PSM, said, "Great, I've got a few notes, but, you know, good job, whatever." He said, "Oh, by the way, you're on for Andre tonight."
Oh, my God.
So that was a little bit like, whoa, because it's, you know, there were times when I was doing one or the other of them, and a sequence would be coming up, and I'm thinking, I know the lines, I just can't remember which one of us starts it. So that, for me, that was the complication of covering those two parts together. So that's it. So.
I know for me, and this will go for Jeremy as well, there's been several times kind of midway through Act 1 when maybe the Phantom's not been feeling great, or you can tell he's maybe sounding off or something like that, and they'll give one of us a heads up. Sometimes if I'm not on, I'm sitting in the dressing room, they'll say, Greg Mills, call the office. And they say, hey, you know, how are you feeling? You may have to go on for Act 2 for the Phantom. And that happened to me, I think, twice, where the Phantom would stay and kind of, he'd be up in the Angel finishing the show, but I would go and get in the chair and they'd start putting the makeup on me. So when he comes off for the end of Act 1, you know, the understudy that goes on is kind of already mostly made up, and then we start out and do Act 2. So that can be a little frantic and frightening. I also had, you know, like today, Laird McIntosh didn't show up. No, just kidding. But I had it where I was in the building and I wasn't on, and he was running late. I think there was a train issue, and it got to where it was about 5 minutes before the show. And they sort of put me on a warning. They said, look out, you know. And they had to make the call that, you know, he wasn't going to make it in time. So I had to jump on and do Andre real fast. And then the fastest, you know, like Scott said, sometimes we jump on for the next scene. And that happened once as Raoul. Jeremy Hayes was in Managers 2 or something and twisted his ankle and was out doing the mausoleum scene, and they're like, Polly Baird comes running up. I'm sitting there in my glasses, like packing up my book bag. She's like, Greg, they need you on as Raoul. And I'm like, what? So I'm like trying to put my contacts in. I'm like, you know, like shaking. I'm like running around in my like t-shirt and underwear. They're like throwing mics on me. You know, and then I made it up into the scene for the fireman scene where Raoul's up in the box and they're like hearing the Phantom's voice. But like suddenly the audience, I'm sure, was like, because, you know, Jeremy Hayes was like this blonde haired kid, and then here I came with all my like dark hair, and they're like, who's that guy? But,
when I go on in the middle of the show, no one knows it's different.
That's true.
Literally, no one knows, because we have the same wig and we're like generally all the same height and kind of basically for a long time. And so I go on in the middle and people hear an intermission. Well, that was it, because they don't make the announcement until the next act. Since the scene of blah, 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 the role of Christine has been and will be played by Elizabeth. And they're like, oh, isn't that interesting? I didn't know it was a different person. Like, yeah. You know.
Oh, that's exactly. the best sound.
Also,
right?
Can we just give it up for understudies? Because I have no idea how they do all that.
Yeah.
Amazing. You jump in the middle of the show all the time.
I have a story about the call. So, you know, they do the call over the intercom for the whole building. And they say, like, Greg Mills, please come to the office. And you know something's up. Well, one day I'm sitting in my dressing room, which is 9 miles in the sky, down 45 stairs, down up like this, going to the bay. It takes a while to get to the office from my separation room. And so they said, Jeremy Stoll, please. But, oh, it's Beth. Jeremy Stoll, please call the office. Oh, please, please come to the office.
Jeremy Stoll.
Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, what's happening? I'm running. All the way across. I get in there. Open the door. What's going on? What do you need me to do? She goes, well, I'm trying to turn a PDF into a doc format. We have got to get a better system than this.
This is not an emergency.
It's not an emergency. Oh, my God. All right, next question.
All right, we'll move on. Next question. I like this one. Someone wrote, this came from the internet. What things, props, did you take from the Majestic?
Ooh.
Nothing.
Raquel? You haven't, like, started any
businesses. I'm wearing all of it right now. No,
this,
I'm just kidding. These earrings were a replica. They were made by my dresser, Rory, for the final show.
Sure they were.
These are not from the show. But
you just found that dog backstage wandering around, right?
Yeah, I found Leo, and I was like, this is mine. I didn't like, well, what they ended up giving us was fabric. The last couple, you know, weeks that we were closing, the warehouse was like, hey, we got this stuff here. We're just giving it away. And at first I was like, what the heck am I supposed to do with that? You know, like they were all like small pieces that they were pretty much ready to throw away. I took it home, and I was like, this is going to be a really nice memorabilia. Well, now it's turned into a whole business.
It's amazing.
So if you're looking for anything, come check out these blings do happen. But I, like, these blings do happen.
It's so good.
But I kept, like, I mean, I kept, like, kind of stupid things that were important to me. Like, I had my Hannibal brush that had the makeup still on it, and one of the notes, you know, things like that that meant a lot to me and probably anybody else who comes in. They're like, why is this dirty makeup brush in here? But we weren't allowed to take anything. I even asked. I said, can I take, like, my gloves or anything? And they were like, no. So we couldn't just take things at the end of the show.
It's true. And if it hadn't been for that, I would have taken more. But what I did take, I'll just confess. I took my, well, they let the guys at least take our black dress shoes. And so definitely
yes,
have
those.
Scandalous.
My one, like, big thing, it's not big. The, like, gloves that I wear in Managers 1, the, like, black leather gloves, oh, I took those. Nice. And I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but I took them. And I think I have this. I don't know whose it is. I think it might be Richard Poole's because he was in the room with me. But it's like a hanky. It's like someone's hanky from the show. Ah. And it's, like, clearly from the show because it's very,
mine?
Like, ornate. It's not just, like, some, like, guy's just regular hanky. Just, like, it's definitely
it's
a show hanky.
I took all the toilet paper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I took, like, all my makeup and stuff, I guess. Yeah. But, like, who would want that?
I will say the coolest thing I got, I can say I got it because the crew gave it to me, so it's not like a big secret, but because I was hanging around when they were kind of taking the whole set apart, and I was taking photos and stuff like that, so I was there for a few weeks afterwards. So I was there when the crew was cutting the whole stage apart, and they said, hey, we got to get rid of these things. Do you want a couple? And they cut out the gigantic candles that come out of the stage for the lair scenes. Some of them had been, like, recreated, but a bunch of them were 35 years old and original. So I have two candles that came out of the stage, and they're both, you know, 5 feet tall and 35 years old, and they're sitting in my living room collecting more dust.
Amazing!
But they're awesome!
That's cool.
I actually, from the stagehands, got two seats. I was like, are you guys throwing those
what?
Out?
You got seats?
Yes, two of the seats from the Majestic.
What are you doing, though?
Well,
what does one do with a seat from the Majestic?
You will see the reveal soon. There's somebody who actually, there's no, like, Kristen Blodgett in here, right? Her husband, secret, do not repeat this, obviously, on the interwebs. But
just
her husband
between us.
Asked if he could have them, and he's going to surprise her. Next week, and they're going to put them in their house
oh
in Connecticut. So, because she sat in those seats for 35 years, and she was the very first one to have a baby in the company. She was 8 months pregnant when she was in the show, and so he's going to surprise her with the two seats when she comes home after she does her debut for Sweeney Todd. So don't repeat it, but you'll probably see in the next 2 weeks. We're, like, refurbishing the whole thing and putting in the stanchions and everything. So that's kind of a cool thing.
She's the most wonderful person. So,
like, literally.
So deserved.
Yes.
I have, like, a weird thing, actually. I didn't get to take it myself. But if you guys go to the Museum of Broadway, that is my dress, actually. So when you see the wishing dress, I didn't get, but I touch it when I go in there. But that's mine. So FYI, I didn't take it, but I get to visit it at times.
And one of the greatest things was all the gentlemen who played Phantom in the show, we got to keep one of our masks, which was huge because prior to that, they couldn't leave the building. I would do a lot of conventions in costume. And they wouldn't let me out of the building without two people, without a hair person and a costume person. And they locked it in a box. I wasn't allowed to touch it until I was about to go on stage, and they handed it over, and then it went back in the box because they don't want them to disappear. But so at the end, it was a really big, big deal for them to give that to us. It was very sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.